Hey, what's up, guys? Eric and Parker here from Rockcast. We have conversations with rock stars. You can check out rockcastshow.com for more info about us. You've been hearing us talk a little bit about MyPillow and the great products that they have. I know you're probably saying, Eric, what could conversations with rock stars and sleeping have in common? Well, we'll tell you.
There's nothing better than hitting a mattress with not just one layer, not two. We're talking three amazing layers of comfort. That's right. That's MyPillow. Now, let me tell you about it. The first layer is the MyPillow patented foam. Now, layer two has the transitional foam. And of course, finally, we come to layer three, which could be the most important layer of all. And that is because the body temperature is regulated throughout the entire night from their phase change material.
Again, use promo code ROCKCAST or 800-646-5719. That's 800-646-5719 for up to 66% off. Isn't it time that you had a good night's sleep?
Perfect. You got video and audio because I'm looking and sounding really fucking good today.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah. So, Eric, Parker, what do you guys want to know about rock and roll? Because a lot of people go, Nugent thinks he knows it all. Oh, I'm way beyond the thinking stage.
Oh, he knows it all. Freaking knows it.
Well, we just need all of the knowledge bestowed upon us.
Good luck. You can't absorb it all. I'll just give you incremental slams because there's so much dynamo hum going on. I'm Mr. Effervescent, and I'm willing to share it with you, which is one of the many reasons why you guys really adore me. Which, that's by the way, you'll never adore me as much as I adore me. Anyhow, how are you doing? Where, Eric and Parker, where are you technologying from?
Nashville.
Well, we're in Nashville right now.
Nashville will do. That's a suburb of San Francisco, I think. But I'm bringing you greetings from America.
Yes. Hey, I'm digging the beard, man. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little silver thing. I got a little Santa Claus thing going on. You know, it's the hunting season. I'm just up to my ass in gut piles and blood trails and bloody arrows. The dogs are so happy. When the dogs are happy, I'm happy. And I got this little Natty Bumpo thing. You know who Natty Bumpo was?
Yeah.
The last of the week. Anyhow, I got this Spirit of the Wild erection going on that starts in mid-August, never ends, by the way. But this is the tail end of the hunting season. So I'm pretty damn happy.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, that is, I'm just trying to get with your people here just to make sure we're all good. We're all good now. They wanted to make sure that we're good. So I think we're good.
Oh, yeah, good. Let her rip. You missed all the good shit. You should have been recording all this. That my opening volley is always the most dynamo.
Oh, we got it. It's recording.
All right. You got it. Hallelujah. Yeah,
we're good.
Salutations are always the most spontaneous. And of course, if you guys are going to delve into the world of rock and roll, spontaneity is the cat's ass.
Yeah. Look, we're pros here. We're ready.
Is the cat's ass puckered or is it just relaxed?
Well, when I'm around, it's relaxed. But if you play country music, it really puckers up, man. That damn country music. Oh, I don't know. I heard some country music here recently. I think I was at a state fair next to the corn dog stand, and there was a Ferris wheel going around. And in between the squeak, I think I heard some country licks.
Nice. Okay.
Which is just disgusting. But anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's not what we're going to do here. We're going to be far away from that. It's going to be good. So I guess we should probably start the show. We're on a limited time schedule here.
I've already started. Can you guys hear this guitar? Does that guitar sound as good in this technology as it does?
Hell
in this
yes, room? It does.
Dude, it's
Are
awesome.
Are you kidding me? What about it? What? I mean, I can hardly stand myself. I played this at Gibson Birdland from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and it literally calls my name, and she and I have an intimate relationship.
Oh.
How about the sound of that guitar? Oh. I mean, does it...
Hey, one time,
so
Ted,
cute. Do
it. Little cat scratch fever lick, just one time.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. See, it's all in the. All these white guys just destroy with their. Come on, get black like a Motown funk. come on. Don't you want to breed now? Didn't it inspire some breeding sensation?
I like that. Man, we could stop now and it'd be good.
Well, my licks are so cool. I mean, I just got in, I checked my traps, I wore the dogs out, I shot a couple dozen arrows, I trained with my Glock 10 millimeter, and boy, I'm really good. Anyhow, when I get away from that outdoor phenomena, which I never do, but when I get into my man cave cuckoo's nest and the birdland jumps into my face,
oh, dude.
Just these killer primal, spontaneous, you know, the samurai thing of too many minds. When I pick up the guitar, I do not have too many minds.
Right. Ted, you got a Glock 20 10 millimeter, right? And my friend Jason told me.
Yeah, I got an arsenal of those. Never run. I have too many guns, nobody ever said.
Right.
Yeah, right. Right.
45, 70, 11.
Are you talking about on the premises or on my belt? Because, yes, I started carrying the 10 millimeter once the FBI blew it down in Miami. And their tactics, and of course, they've turned into a gang. I can't tell the difference. There's MS-13, the Crips and the Bloods, and then there's the FBI. I can hardly tell them apart. But that being said, the 10 millimeter is just a great, controllable, naturally accurate round that is good for self-defense, for hunting, for competition, and for stopping imminent threats.
Which you got a BFR revolver up in there somewhere, too, don't you?
Say again?
You got a BFR revolver in there somewhere, don't you, in that room?
Yeah, 45-70 when I come fucking bam!
Oh, yeah. You know, we need to start this show, Ted. We got to start the show. We have to start
it. I've already started. I'm sorry you guys can't catch up. Give it your best shot. Do
it. You are just on it today. And this is, I'm going to tell you this. This is early. This is all going in the show, but this is early.
This is the essence of it.
It is the show.
Why would you get rid of the foreplay? You guys need to come to the Uncle Ted. There's a new song on the record called Driving Blind, and I actually insert the truism of I wrote the book on sexual inspiration.
Well, I'm going to take notes on it. I'm going to read that one. Listen to that one. I'm going to take notes on it. That's what I'm going to do.
But anyhow, when you have me on, it's just a campfire, man. I'm in the cuckoo's nest, and I'm surrounded by nothing but love, peace through superior firepower, a lot of guitars and amps. I got the 1962 Fender Twin Reverb that Jimmy McCarty played Jenny Take a Ride and Devil with the Blue Dress on. So I'm surrounded by the greatest, purest, primal spirit of rock and roll that a guy could ever
do.
Wow.
That's awesome.
On that note, guys, welcome to the show. I'm Eric. That's Parker over there. We, as you can see already, we have
swan dive to the street.
We've dived into the show already. This is how it's going to go today, folks. If you don't like it, you can get out. Yeah. If you're not watching the show on YouTube or Spotify now, by the way, where we have video opportunities on Spotify. They, for some reason, let us do that. We're grateful for that. Thank you, Spotify. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But we have an important guest on the show. If you haven't figured that out by now, we have a very, very important guest on the show. Sold more than 400 million albums, performed over 6,700. That's right, 6,700 high-octane live shows, and has continued to set audience records at venues around the globe. Over seven decades of multi-platinum hits. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Nugent.
How can I possibly accomplish all that? Did you mention that I'm the funniest guitar player in the world and I didn't invent Precious, but I have perfected it back in 1957?
Oh, man.
You forgot to mention that. Yes. I'm Rosa Parks with a Gibson, baby.
We have to let you have some time. We can't say everything. We got to have it straight from the horse's mouth. And so far, my friend, I think that's happened. We've been really blessed with your presence.
Well, yeah. I thank you for that. And I appreciate the opportunity to celebrate, I guess, the essence of rock and roll. That is the middle finger on fire, the soundtrack of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, defiance, the most important element. Mm. Just ask Little Richard. I appreciate being invited onto your podcast. Of course, when you invite Ted Nugent, it turns into a podcast. But needless to say, I celebrate the music, and I suspect that's what we're going to do here today.
That's right.
Well, that's the plan. That's definitely the plan. First question, my friend, do you think that rock and roll is dead? I've been hearing this by numerous people. I disagree, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, anybody who says rock and roll is dead probably has killed rock and roll in their own lives, but I got to tell you, I have a spiritual erection right now just from picking up my Gibson Birdland guitar. Oh, and I'm an old man. Gentlemen, I know you respect your elders, but absolutely, the silver beard is real. And yeah. I live rock and roll every day, not just the execution, delivery, celebration, unleashing thereof, but as an independent son of a bitch who farms and ranches and hunts and fishes, and I run a trap line, I raise dogs. Have you seen Mrs. Nugent? If that's not rock and roll, I pray for thee. The point is that in my world, and I know we need to compartmentalize, especially in, I don't know what your rules are here, but in clusterfuck 22 and clusterfuck 21 and clusterfuck 20, it is a royal flame throwing clusterfuck. Yep. And I am not here to douse the flames, but rather fan them. Yes. So my origins in Detroit, inspired by Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Little Richard, all these fire-breathing, defiant musical monsters that invented this outrageous, uppity, unprecedented, electric, throttling, animal-breeding soundtrack. I'm an old man. I'm 73 years old, but I've been clean and sober for 73 years, which means everything still works pretty good. And right, of course, I can't play country music because I still have a dick. My point being is that that I live the rock and roll life, without question, more celebratory, more passionately. Think of the words I'm using, because you've seen Ted Nugent with the Amboy Dukes and the damn Yankees and my incredible, my bands. Oh, my God, my bands, my rhythm sections from 1958 on. So that was intense beyond measure. But here it is at age of 73 with Greg Smith on bass, Jason Heartless on drums. Every time we plug in and unleash my favorite songs, which are all my songs, and what those guys, the heart and soul those guys put into it, rock and roll is not only not dead, it's more intense, it's more fire breathing, it's more fun, it's tighter, it's more authoritative, it's more dynamic. And remember, I know that's awfully cocky, which I'm really, really good at, but I learned from Little Richard. And if you can show me something more cocky than Little Richard, be sure you send me there. So my point is if rock and roll is dead in your life, that's a damn shame. That means you're probably comfortably numb, which is actually uncomfortably dumb. But those of us who live life passionately and still pursue a musical delivery of our heart and soul like Greg and Jason do, and again, all my musicians, we could list my musicians. I think God loves me more than he loves you. He's given me these incredible virtuosos with work ethic that Hercules would be jealous of. Oh my bands have always been the man in the arena. So here it is, Clusterfuck 22. I have a brand new record, Detroit Muscle. Yeah. It's like the A-10 warthog of rock and roll. So no, rock and roll is not dead. In fact, I have to wrestle the son of a bitch into submission every night, and I fail miserably, which is perfect.
Yeah. Yes, man. This is awesome. Do you think though that there in today's world that there is that rock and roll's rebellion has left in a lot of people?
Yes, and I understand people that think it's dead. I love Gene Simmons, and I know that's a quote from him. Yeah. But again, and he's real rock and roll. I love the guy. I think Kiss is as real as outrage fun rock and roll gets.
Sure.
That being said, and I'm not criticizing them because I adore them. Yeah. They're the real McCoy, and I know it's got an intense, outrageous cartoon element with the makeup and the costumes, which is awesome. Yep. I wore a loincloth and rode a buffalo on stage, so I have no place to criticize anybody.
Awesome.
Bruce Springsteen has put out enough makeup so people believe he's for every man. My point being is that I know that there's a Foo Fighters, which is the real McCoy, but it's not new. Yep. And I know there's a Greta Van Fleet from Michigan, of course.
Yeah.
But I know that right now Kid Rock breathes fire. That's why he's got Grand Funk Railroad and Foreigner on the road. That's why when Cheap Trick perform or AC/DC performs or ZZ Top performs or Tim Montana performs or this guy named Michael Austin who thinks he's country. No, I don't think he thinks he's country. These guys, I just got a text from Toby Keith. We're setting up a quail hunt.
Cool.
These guys are the essence Their bands are rhythm and blues bands. They're rock and rollers, which is why they're so frustrated every night, which is why Toby Keith plays Stranglehold every night. they must unleash the beast.
Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
And they so, can't help yes, it. If you accept the tyrannical Nazi force wearing of a mask,
right,
then I suppose you can be a sheep.
Right.
Yeah.
So mankind is capable of all kinds of idiotic decisions. And we're witnessing it. We got this prick in the White House that manifests the apathy, the self-inflicted curse of disconnect from the sacred experiment in self-government. But in the world of real music lovers, every night on stage, every gig is the most important. Every song, I can't wait to play these fucking songs. Who wouldn't want to play Dog Eat Dog and Wang Dang Sweet Poon? I pity the rest of the bands because they haven't got a Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang. I got the only one. By the way, let's just unleash that lick because.
Yes.
Let's talk about, Wang Dang, get out of here. Woo! Damn. How do you not go berserk in anticipation to play these songs?
Yeah.
And by the way, that's how Kid Rock and his band approaches it.
Yeah.
I know that's how Toby Keith approaches it. He hasn't got a Wang Dang. He wishes. That's why they play Stranglehold every night. But he loves his music. It really does reflect the statements and his belief system. You know, sometimes you abandon belief system, you just let out a beast of apolitical middle finger fun, doesn't matter, red cup, whatever. But in this world, for me to be able to say 100% honestly and accurately that my greatest tour in my life was 2019. Ooh. And we were going to do it again in 20 and 21, but the communists that infest our government wouldn't let us. And so in a world where you still crave an uninhibited, primal, dynamic, defiant expression of music, rock and roll is as powerful. And no, not as powerful. It's more powerful. You should have been in the barn when we recorded Detroit Muscle. It was like a bunch of horny teenagers with their first piece of ass. I mean, everybody was just nuts. We couldn't back most of the songs. My foundational licks, which I am the czar of foundational licks. Come on. As soon as Greg and Jason heard them, there was a pulse in the barn, and Michael Lutz, the author of Smoking in the Boys Room, Brownsville Station, he was my co-producer. He's just a musical monster. Tim and Andy Padlin, they're human musical things. They just live music. They want tightness. They know that James Brown established the bar, and they know that Wilson Pickett established the scream. I think it was a combination of photo finish, Wilson Pickett and James Brown for screaming. That's called a crescendo. That's when the guitar solo happens. Come on, Foo Fighters, get a fucking guitar solo. We're waiting. Right. Anyhow, my point is that I know you guys love piss and vinegar rock and roll. I bet if I named all my favorite bands, AC/DC, the Stones, the Kinks, the Who, Aerosmith, we named all ZZ Top.
Yep.
We love that that we are Chuck Berry's children.
Yes.
And we deliver it in our own identity, which is which is individuality, which is why you've never heard a great rock and roll song written by a French guy. They're not allowed to think like I think. They haven't been out testing their Glock 10 millimeter this morning, so they have no idea how freedom really manifests itself. And I give you Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang. Plus the songs on the new album. There's a song called, by the way, but besides the guitar licks, how about my song titles? There's a song in the new record called Feedback Grind Fire.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Great title. If I wasn't me, I'd buy all my albums.
That's a great title. That sounds like an old stage name. That sounds like an old stage name I used to dance under, actually.
Feedback Grind Fire. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Tell me all your wildest dreams. Give me some feedback grind fire. Tell me what all of this means. And then Greg and Jason just, they levitate.
Ted, this is the most rock and roll this podcast has been.
Yes.
Let me tell you. Hey,
well, who are you going to call?
By the way, my dad wanted me to ask you, have you came up with a vaccine for the cat scratch fever yet? That is the real question of the day.
I have, but it only works on the female of the species.
Well, good to know.
That's good to know. We'll need that.
By the way, once again, I don't care what anybody out there thinks of me. I really don't care because great people, really kind, thoughtful, smart people love me. Complete dirtbags hate me, which is perfect. But all I can tell you, no matter what you think of me, just gaze upon Mrs. Nugent come to the admission that that's my soulmate. That's my wife. If I got that and had it for 33 years, I'm cooler than I think I am. Because if that's not proof that I'm a bad motherfucker, I don't know what
is. That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, you said something earlier about AC/DC. Now, listen, here's my question, and maybe you can answer this.
I can answer.
I did some research on the interwebs, so you know it's true because it's on the internet, right? So it's said that you had turned down offers from AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd to come hang with them. Is this truth?
I never was offered a hangout, but I did hang out with them. I was recording Weekend Warriors at Miami studio, the Criteria studio. See, I get a good memory. That's what happens.
Yeah, you do.
Poison yourself. And Bon Scott would come every day. They were recording Highway to Hell. AC/DC's first three tours in North America were opening for me.
Wow.
I mean, did the interweb tell you that? And everybody goes, well, the first Van Halen tours were opening for Black Sabbath. No, they weren't. They were opening for me. But my point is that I've had a great relationship with the world's greatest musicians, the world's greatest bands that ever walked the earth. I never played with the Beatles or the Stones. I've met the guys, and I hung out at Studio 54 on a weekend with Keith Richards one time. And that's a whole another podcast. But and I love the guy. But anyhow, that proves my whole theory that clean and sober is really good for you. Anyhow, my point being is that I hung out with all these guys. Now, I don't smoke dope because I'm not a big fan of drooling. The drool and the spittle and the throwing up and the stumbling and not remembering an evening, because God gave me an evening. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to maximize it. And I'm going to remember it.
Yes.
So Bon Scott would come into the Criteria, Jack Daniels every day. Hey, Dan, you got to loosen up. I said, Bon, if I was any looser, I'd spill. I said, I don't need. And by the way, I think you peed your pants. And by the way, I revere the guy. What a force. Right. What a great guy. Nicest guy. I told Bon Scott it was going to kill him. I told John Belushi it was going to kill him. Yeah. I told Jimi Hendrix it was going to kill him. I told Keith Moon it was going to kill him.
Jimi Hendrix, really?
I mean, I turned down their drugs and their alcohol because they were drooling and they couldn't form syllables, kind of almost like the president having a syllable off with Ozzy. And I love Ozzy. I don't love the president, but I love Ozzy. So I've always prioritized, but no, I've never turned down. But, you know, they go, Nugent doesn't party. Oh, I party, but not with drugs or men.
Oh, right. Okay. That is a very distinct clarification right there.
Yes, a very wise clarification.
Right. Hey, well, speaking of the president, as you see in Kid Rock, he's got a White House of his own in Nashville.
How about that? Well, did Kid Rock learn the Uncle Ted Motor City Madman lessons or what?
He is
the real McCoy. And if anybody ever wanted to know what Detroit is, it's so easy. You start with the Motown Funk Brothers, the Motown spirit, the Motown soulful authority, which gave us Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels unequaled, by the way. Right. Never equal, except by my band.
Of course.
Detroit, Bob Seger, Even though Grand Funk was from Flint, it's still a Michigan Detroit piss and vinegar fest.
Yep.
And bands you may have never heard of course, real rockers, you probably have the Scott Richardson Case, Dick Wagner and the Frost. Even the Rationals. Oh my God. What musical monsters these guys were. Iggy and the Stooges, not so much. I mean, they didn't play good. They were always stoned. They were loose. Mm-hmm. It was like folk music through an amplifier, which is
I could never
disgusting.
Perform like that. I could never perform like that. I couldn't perform like that. There's no way.
Nobody can. What? Yeah. Keith Richards can. Keith Richards has got it down to a ballet. He's like the comfortably numb ballerina. I love the guy. And boy, talking about guitar licks and musical forces that have enriched our lives. I mean, here's a guy that's completely opposite of me when it comes to substance abuse, but he's given us, and Jimmy, I'm sure he wrote Purple Haze on acid, but I also know for, I don't know about a fact, I'm not a scientist, but I'm probably smarter than most of them, Fauci. So I've witnessed these geniuses, and I jammed with Jimmy, and I opened up for the Amboy Dukes opened up for the Who at the Southfield High School in 1969. Wow. I hung out with these guys and gentlemen and everybody listening and watching. If you're sharing this musical journey, excitement, expression, adventure, wouldn't it be nice to be able to talk about it with each other?
Right.
You couldn't talk to the guys in Black Sabbath. They couldn't form syllables. You couldn't talk to the guys. And again, I revere AC/DC. And I love that. Thank you, everybody, for enriching our lives with your incredible music. But wouldn't it be nice on tour with Aerosmith to have a conversation? I mean, it's not just the expression of the music. It should be a campfire. That's why I love Tim Montana, and I love Billy Gibbons. I love Kid Rock. And I know they all indulge to some degree. All right, fine. But at least they're cognizant of their surroundings and respectful to a dialogue.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
People condemn me for being anti-drug. I mean, just shut the fuck up.
Right.
I mean,
which is amazing to me. Why would you say no? You're not. It's not okay that you're anti-drug. You don't do drugs.
I can't imagine if you take enough drugs, you might be that stupid. Que sera, sera. I got all kinds of dear friends that get high. They're still my dear friends.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
So everybody take a deep breath and relax, would you? I'm the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Just don't be a dirtbag.
That's right.
Don't be a dick.
That's right. We love Uncle Ted. We love Uncle Ted.
I feel the love. I celebrate that love.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. All right, man. You have been doing this for, I don't know.
60 plus. I started when I was like 8 or 9 playing at school dances and sock hops. That goes into my list of 6,766 rock outs. The pool party counts. I was turned on by Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley. How could you not? And Little Richard. Yeah. How could you not be stimulated by what those guys created?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding. So I mean, you've seen a lot in this industry. Let's talk about the industry itself.
Clearly
right?
Through a clear eyeball too, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. The changes from let's even just say 10 years ago, not even going all the way back, just 10 years ago to what it is today. What are some of the major changes that you've seen, and are they good?
Well, first of all, let's start with the positive, because there's always good. We'll talk about the bad and the ugly, because to maximize, enhance, and celebrate the good, one must never hide from the bad and the ugly, because good will be as good as you can reduce bad and ugly. Mm. You go to the internet, the YouTube stuff, the interweb, and you look at some of these young guitar players and some of these gal guitar players and just guitar players from around the world. Holy shit, are they dedicated?
Yeah.
They're making guitar movements that Les Paul could not have imagined, inspired by the Hendrixes and the Eddie Van Halens, and just inspired by musical dreams. That's always been alive and well. So that is still alive and well.
Yeah. Sure.
and there's still, and again, when we play, the audience is so intense. I got up on stage with Tim Montana at a ZZ show here recently, and I got on stage with ZZ a couple years ago right here in Texas, and we played Jailhouse Rock, the Elvis song. And the audience levitate, and they love me, and they know that I bring a firestorm of piss and vinegar and love of music that they love, and I love that they love the music that I love, and so it's just this outrageous orgy of musical love. Yeah. So that energy, it's better now than ever.
Wow.
That's wild. I got on stage in Abilene here last month with Tim Montana and his band, they played Cat Scratch Fever perfect, which means soulful, which means tight and respectful to the delivery of that song. It's a mile marker song in the music world. And I know that, and I can't thank people enough for it, but even if it wasn't a successful song, it would be to me anyway, because you heard the lick. How can you not want to have sex when that song's going on?
Stranglehold too, man.
Another indicator for quality of life. The point being is that there's a lot of good. We're here right now today celebrating it, identifying those bands that continue to put their heart and soul into creating this soundtrack of our lives. Now, the bad and the ugly. The bad is that there's no industry.
Mm. Yeah.
When I started, the president of the record company loved the music, came to the shows, commented on the music, identified the crescendos and the catchiness and the energy, and celebrated the back and forth with the audience.
Yeah.
So did the AR guy. So did the PR guy. So did the secretary.
Right.
So did the guy that printed the vinyl. They would come to the shows, and I'd go to the distributors. Everybody that worked in distributors, they knew the songs. They loved the music. They loved the musicians. They loved the work ethic to create this outrageous, tight music with these incredible bands, my bands. Yeah. Yeah. And the guy that owned the music store had a display in the window. He loved the music. And the guy behind the counter loved the music. The guy that drove the truck to drop off the records from the distributor to the store, they loved the music. It's gone. It's unless you have a hit record. I love the Green Days and goofy motherfuckers, but I love their music and their energy, and I love the Foo Fighters. I just wish there was more of a song. And Dave, I love you, buddy. God bless you. Thank you for enriching our lives, but I'm waiting for the get them all in All Day and All the Night.
Ooh,
guitar solo crescendo. I'm waiting for that guitar fire. And yes, their rhythms are fiery and their songs are fiery. And Dave does the most important thing in rock and roll. His forehead veins pop.
They do.
As long as the forehead veins pop, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, as long as the forehead veins are popping, Mitch Ryder and Wilson Pickett, then you're making me happy. But you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think, and again, it's not about the money, but if I sell 1,000 apples and it costs me $1,000 to grow them and I make $2,000 and I got to pay the guy to help me sell them and make sure that they're taken care of so there's no bruises, the profit's mine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I didn't grow the apples for money, not necessarily. If you do, that's fine too. I grew the apples because I wanted to create the greatest apple. Well, the profit is the orchard owners.
Yeah.
Well, if there's no profit, if you're getting a penny when Spotify plays your song 50 times, who's going to spend all that time in the basement jamming and cultivating and pursuing musical statements from the heart that will be successful?
Yeah.
It doesn't. I've never sat down and wrote a song. Never in my life. I have no paper and pencil. Yeah. I've never gone, gee, what key should, well, I wonder what lick, what tempo. No. I don't write songs. I ejaculate them. The guitar makes me say this.
Yes.
And the way the rhythm of the guitar lick happens makes my syllables and cadence occur.
Oh,
yes.
So, you know why? Because I can't stop. And yes, I made a lot of money and I should be compensated when I sell tickets and sell records. I should be compensated. But the industry where you can download all these guys. Joe Bonamassa works his ass off and he has to give away his album that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to make. On what planet is that right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the bad and the ugly encapsulated. But I'm lucky as shit. So is ZZ. So is Foreigner and Aerosmith and all these bands that are still out there touring, because real music is still celebrated and cherished by real music lovers. But name me something recent that lights your ass on fire.
Don't tell me how to live.
Yes. Yes. There you have it. Or We the People.
We the People.
Yes. Right. So yes. And Am I the Only One by Aaron Lewis? Yes.
Oh yeah. Aaron Lewis.
Number one. Isn't about him? Number one.
But again, back in the 60s and 70s, we could name 100 bands.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We could name 100.
100.
Hit. When my song Journey to the Center of the Mind, what a great song. How did teenagers create that music? Mm. When my song was number one, Journey to the Center of the Mind, I was 19. I ejaculated it when I was 18.
With the stranglehold.
Well, but that was way before that. So Journey to the Center of Mind was on the charts. So was Sunshine of Your Love. So was Born to Be Wild. So was Hush by Deep Purple. Ooh, yeah. So was all these killer, real, uppity rock and roll songs were smash hits.
Oh man!
Give me the list of top 20 songs today, and you'll cry tears of blood. It's so embarrassing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
It's pussified. It's soulless. It's safe. It's cautious.
It's like still music.
It's like you can expect to hear most of these hit songs on an insurance company TV ad. What's that? That's no good. You know I'm right. You know absolutely right.
It's all Ted. It's all Phil music. I hear it when I'm in the bathroom at Publix.
Yes, it's Muzak. It's embarrassing. It's elegant. Yep. By the way, they did do a version of Journey to the Center of the Mind on Muzak. I thought it was hysterical. They had cellos. They had cellos. By the way, that solo lick, they had cellos playing that incredible solo lick. I was 18 years old. Where did I come up with that?
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's so good.
Listen, hey, I know you're limited on time. We need to play a quick game of Would You Rather. Are you up for that?
I'm a game guy. I'm big game.
So listen, there are three questions, and I want you to elaborate on your answer, which I don't think you're going to have a problem with that.
You know, me elaborate. Yeah, Mr. Verbose himself.
I think we'll be all right on that. All right. So the first question, would you rather drink ketchup through a straw or eat mayo with a spoon?
The person who would offer me that choice would get punched in the nose by Mike Tyson, because I would hire Mike Tyson. I go, Mike, when I designate somebody saying something really stupid, I'll give you $100 if you punch him right in the throat.
I would appreciate it if that didn't happen. This is how I make money.
That's a miracle. But anyhow, you know, that's a cute Q&A thing. And I suppose if I could play that game and I had to choose one or the other.
You do. You are.
I do have to choose.
You do have to choose.
Hypothetically, if I were sheep-like and wore a mask on a motorcycle by myself driving down the highway, okay, let's pretend I'm that stupid. I would probably do the ketchup just because it would be more graphic. Red is always more fun than white.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that one.
I don't think you want a little white on your face there, Ted. Listen to this. Good answer.
Well, as a Motown funk brother, I'm not a big fan of white.
Well, there you go. All right. Question numero dos. Be trapped in an elevator with someone that has the worst smelling farts ever, or yawn right when someone farts in front of you.
I would take the elevator, because as they unleash their best nose singer, I could beat them at their own game. Growing up as a Catholic, I'd go to church every morning at Christ the King grade school, and I would work up a good, like a duck that you dropped an anvil on, but it would really resonate on those oak pews. So I'm the only guy you'll ever do an interview with that actually sat in his own pew.
Oh, wow. Man. Hey, the metal chairs are good too. If you get into a classroom setting, whoa.
That's yeah. That's
all right. Big. I got. That's a great question. I'm a big fan of controlled gas release. So I'm at the Beaver Creek, 5-star hoity-toity. You take the horse carriage up the snow mountain in Colorado, and my wife likes that kind of stuff, and I indulge her. Oh boy, do I indulge her! And so we're up there, and I had this big full-length wolf coat, which just drove these hippies crazy. And I said, "Don't make fun. I'll kill more." Anyhow, I'm about to hang up my wolf coat in the vestibule. Aren't you proud that I know what a vestibule is?
I'm good. We're very proud of you.
So I'm hanging up this wolf coat, and these two young gals walk by, really fine Fox teenage girls. They're all coiffed up, and they had the bling, and they had the Fox stole. And they got the pretty little skirts and the nice lace and the nice shoes and the hoity-toity Beaver Creek restaurant. And they're walking by. And as they walk behind me, I'm telling you, I don't care how you love my guitar playing or my wit or my fun factor, or my comedy or my effervescence. You have no idea that my number one gift is that I can time it. They walked right behind me, and I hung up my coat, and a duck wishes it could make a noise like this. And it lasted at least 3 or 4 seconds, which is really a long duck slam.
Wow.
And I let her rip, and these girls, right as they walked behind me, I let it rip, and it was just disgusting. You didn't have to wait for the wave. It was immediately the air caught fire, and this duck was it didn't die a pleasant death. And these girls recoiled in horror, and they looked at me and they went, "Oh my fucking God."
I want to know though if they actually realized that it was an honor to be crop dusted.
And yes, it was an honor. They should have known it was an honor. But I'm telling you, I don't know if there's been a more effective fart in the history of ass gas. It was, and I made sure I extended my reach. You know how when you reach up, it kind of causes a pucker, and so it gets a little more resonance.
Yes.
So I made sure I extended my reach just so I could milk the absolute maximum delivery of this. Literally, it was like the gladiator. I mean, I've killed a lot of ducks, but I've never heard anything this beautiful in my life. And these girls, they didn't know whether to shit or go blind.
Oh my God.
It was just the best moment. One of my best moments in life. And I'm glad I can share it with you, gentlemen, because I have a feeling you appreciate this.
Thank you.
That is the best fart joke I have ever heard in my entire existence.
These poor girls, they had their hair they had the hairspray. They had their hair coiffed up. I swear to God, it started to droop. What I did to the air in that vestibule, it literally caused it. I thought their hairspray was going to catch fire, but their hair literally started to descend because I had so offended the air in that room. It was, they literally picked up speed and they were coughing.
Don't like that match.
Oh my gosh.
You have this real elitist atmosphere, and here's the Motor City Madman just singeing your face. It was, I'm telling you, I think God does love me more than he loves you guys, because I don't think you'll ever be to that mountaintop. That's a mountaintop.
I don't think
moment.
I want to. I don't think I like living at this
now
point.
Now, that Eric, is trash bag gas right
that
there.
That is trash bag gas. That is it. That is it right there. Ted, we got to hurry. We got one more question, and I know you got to go because you're a busy, busy person. This one is going to be, this is going to take the cake right here, my friend. All right.
You got the right guy for that.
Parker, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, here we go, Ted. You ready? So would you rather lick the floor of a poorly cleaned gas station bathroom or be flogged, whipped with a cat of nine tails 10 times?
Oh, I'll take the cat of nine tails.
Really?
Yeah, wow, because really? I'm impervious to pain. I am mind over matter samurai martial arts Zen master.
Yes.
And you can abuse me and you can whip me and I'll just stand there and take it. And then when you're done, I'll go, are you done? Was that it? That's your best shot.
That's all
then
you
I'd
got?
Take that cat of nine tails and I'd bend that motherfucker over and wad it up in a fucking ball and I'd shove it up his ass. In fact, I'd call six or seven of my big Detroit black buddies to get a pool cue and just ramrod it up his ass just to get even. And I could bleed all day, but I'd be the happiest son of a bitch you ever met.
Wow.
Good answer.
That is that's
do you again, feel the love?
That's I do.
Amazing. That is amazing. We I don't think we can do any better than what we've already done. I think you now listen, Ted, we would love to have a longer conversation at some point with you because there's so many questions that we have.
Sure. Well, we got at least 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, do we? Hey, maybe we spend some time out in the field because look, Ted, I've never hunted in my life. Never.
Oh my
hunted.
God, I can tell. That's why your hair's standing up like
that's
that.
That's right. Take me hunting. You're the first.
Gentlemen, I was born in Detroit in 1948 when it was the arsenal of democracy. Literally, Detroit stopped making cars and trucks and started making howitzers and bombers. Mm. So there was a work ethic and a celebration of the unambiguous, irrefutable good of freedom over the evil of the Japanese emperor and the Nazis. It was a moment in the human history of undeniable good defeating undeniable evil. So that work ethic, that celebration of freedom that is not free. My dad fought in World War II in Korea, but my dad was a bow hunter when I was born. He was following a great man named Fred Bear. And I don't know if you guys are aware of the song Fred Bear, but you better be. It's a tribute to a great man who I loved and revered and celebrated. And he embraced me as a young boy in Michigan. And Fred Bear was the founding father of the rebirth of bow hunting, which is the mystical flight of the arrow, the definitive spiritual relationship with God's creation to reverentially dedicate ourselves to cleanly and humanely kill the surplus to feed our families and fellow man. It's so pure. It's as pure as birth and death. It's the hunting is one of the last pure beneficial responsibilities for environmental upgrade available to mankind. So I got to tell you, Parker, you know, a lot of people think, well, it's recreation. Well, it certainly does recreate.
Yeah.
It recreates the spirit, but it is a responsibility to make room for next year's fawns and calves. Right. And the habitat doesn't expand every year, but the animals do. So you will find that it's fun. It's challenging, especially when you get into archery, because in fact, I'll tell you what, I can do that right here. I do this about 20 times a day. There is a discipline that is directly linked to my primal uninhibited guitar delivery and celebration that really is the consummate being one with creation. And it's you can't rely on anybody else, graceful. And when you can deliver that arrow to your desirable point of impact, it's an indicator, and I believe a definitive indicator, of delivering your life in the direction that you control.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's serious stuff, but it's also fun.
Right.
And it's exhilarating. And when I do that every day, and when I pick, that's why my guitar licks at the age of 73 are as primal as the 10-year-old in the garage in Detroit, because I'm purified in the outdoors. And when I shoot my bow and arrow, there's no world. There's no communists. There's no Fauci's. Right. There's no Pelosi's. There's no crime. It's literally orchestrated crime. There's no orchestrated invasion of my country. Right about here. Perfect. Zen. Spirit. Oneness. And then you pick up the guitar and I come up with these dangerous, sexy licks. My point being is that you would fall in love with it. You would literally fall in love with the spirit of the wild, which is a huge force in my life and tens of millions of American families.
Yeah. Well, I think when you need to come to Nashville, you need to take us out and Well, we'll come to you or something. We need to go.
We'll figure out something. I got a bunch of buddies. I think John Rich is in Nashville. Kid Rock's in Nashville. Tim Montana's in Nashville. Tommy Shaw's in Nashville. Yeah. Almost everybody's moving to Nashville, which is why I ain't moving to Nashville. But I do love when we play the Ryman Theater, the Ricochet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. My band. Yeah. Once again, the new album is Detroit Muscle. Greg Smith on bass guitar. Jeez, oh God!
American Campfire's coming out too, right? Or is it?
Yeah,
out
have you already? Heard that? What a lick! Yes. What a stupid, crazy, powerful
Here
lick!
We go.
I mean, come on. Everybody loves the American Campfire. Don't you hear it calling your name? Hey! Though that's a perfect example. I came in one day and I played that lick and I sang those words.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're real proud of it. But Jason Hartless on drums and my whole team, just really, I'm humbled and honored and blessed to have these music monsters. They have such authority, such a work ethic. So what you hear, that's the alarm saying I got another interview to do. But anyhow, the point is that I give all the credit to God, who has channeled these ideas and thoughts and visions and songs and statements and expressions, but it's my bands. Yeah. Holy God, listen to my going. A guy sent me a song from the Amboy Dukes yesterday from 1970, 71. We were incredible. We were just kids. Just incredible dedication. What virtuosos have been at my side for 60 years. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. That is crazy. Listen, we got to go because I'm getting yelled at by your people. So we have to go. I like our relationship with your people because they brought us you. So
yeah, they're great. By Linda. Linda's like the General Patton of Ted Nugent's army. She is the logistician from hell. So God bless Linda and everybody else.
I love it. Thank you so much for checking out the show. Ted Nugent, Parker, myself, Eric right here. Thank you so much for this has been a weird show and I love every single freaking minute of it. That's the point of this. That's why we do this. Rockcastshow.com. Ted, TedNugent.com, right?
You bet.
Yeah. Go check that out. New album, Detroit Muscle and American Campfire single is out now. Go check those out. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Follow us everywhere. We'll see you next time.
God bless you guys. Thanks much, man.